Hi friends, I just want to take a quick moment to tell you about Anchor. Now, if you're an aspiring podcaster or have friends who've started their own podcast, then you've probably heard your fair share of ads on Anchor. Maybe you're even a little bit skeptical like I was at first. I mean, is anything really free when you're creating a podcast? Well, let me tell you firsthand, Anchor is the way to go. Anchor FM really gives you everything you need to start a podcast. You can record directly on there or upload your files, easily edit your recordings from your phone or computer, and if you don't have anyone to produce the music for your podcast, they even give you access to music from Spotify that you can use without copyright infringement and select your own. I mean, how easy is that? Not only can you do all this, but you can upload onto all streaming services directly from Anchor. If you're hesitant about starting your podcast and all the how-to stuff, Anchor makes it 10 times easier for you with clear instructions from the get-go on how to start your podcast and even advises you on how you can make money with it. And it's free. So really, you can't lose here, and I love that for you. It's helped me in my podcast creation journey, and I know it can be the same for you. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm right now and start that journey. That's anchor.fm. Hello, and welcome to the Dress in Splendor podcast. Luke 12:27 states, "Look at how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these." Our mission here is to share stories from men and women that can help you learn how to stop laboring or striving after what you want to accomplish, but rather to trust in your heavenly creator to guide you in your everyday life. If he has a plan for you, he will make a way. All he wants is our daily yes to him and for us to stop worrying about what tomorrow will bring. If we can do that, then we, as children made in his image, can be dressed in even grander splendor than the beautiful wildflowers of the field. I'm your host, Lydia Summer, and I'm so glad you're here today. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Today on our episode, we're closing out our series on the nearness and presence of Yahweh with Amelia Zobrist. Founder of Wandering Wild, Amelia has a heart for sharing tools on how we can better draw near to God and experience the joy of being in his presence. We talk about the importance of community and how it's her favorite way to be in his presence. And we even talk about how God can use the most unlikely means to bring about that community in our lives. Not only that, but we also dive a little into the topic of church hurt. Amelia and I invite you to sit back and enjoy what we hope and believe is a fruitful, spirit-filled conversation that I think ties up our series into a beautiful little bow. Also, stay tuned to listen to our ad for our special Black Friday sale that's available only to our listeners. Welcome to the Dress in Splendor podcast. Let's get started. Hey everyone, today on our show, I have the one and only Amelia Zobrist joining us in our conversation surrounding the topic of the nearness and presence of Yahweh. Founder of Wandering Wild, Amelia makes it her business to actually help others draw near to God and spend time in his presence. So she's the perfect person to have on this series and to have this conversation with. She recently held a restoration conference for women to come together and find rest, peace, renewal, and community in the midst of drawing near to God. And as someone who was a part of that, it really was all of that and more. She'll share about all of that. But first, we want to welcome to the show. Amelia, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's so exciting to have you be a part of my podcast, where the very first time when we first met, I was on yours.
I know.
Yeah, it's really a crazy ride that we're on.
Which feels like yesterday, but also like 17
I
years
know.
Ago.
Yes, it does feel like that. Time does not even make sense to me in my mind anymore. Before we get started, can you just share more about yourself for our listeners? Who is Amelia?
Who is Amelia Zobrist? Well, when you find her, let me know. Just kidding. Let's see. I am married to Zachary. We've been married for over 8 years. I have 6 children, 7 and under, which is always a fun conversation piece, yeah. Because they're so close in age. We have 4 biological children and 2 are adopted through foster care. And it's just like we have our oldest are 5 months apart. Our second pair is 5 months apart. And then our third pair is 18 months apart. So it's just a very unique dynamic in our family that is chaotic, and we love it. And yeah, so that's my family. That's who I live with and who I love and spend most of my time with. But then I also have a deep-rooted passion for encouraging women to be in God's presence, because I think it's so important that we know that Christ died on the cross so that we could be in the presence of God. Yeah. Like, that was the goal. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really easy in the busyness of life for us to feel really overwhelmed with the tasks we see on our to-do list, and kind of challenge ourselves to just check off the to-do list tasks all the time when God's sitting there thinking, hey, but this is about me.
Yeah.
And my presence, and you being in my presence, and us being together in community with one another. And so I started Wandering Wild just with this passion. It came from my own time spent in God's presence, and he just led me to this place of bring as many people into my presence as you can. Yeah. And man, so many things with that, but really passionate about that, just really passionate about God's presence and what that changes in our lives. And so yeah, it's a little bit about me.
Yeah. Well, let's talk more about Wandering Wild, because I know you were just saying, like, you started it based out of your time in God's presence, but talk about that experience. And also, like, you know, it happened in 2020, and which is like, I mean, I started my business in 2020 as well, but it doesn't make sense to have done it in that year, to start a business in that year, but...
Oh, 2020.
Yes.
It's like the ugly cousin or something of years. I don't know. That sounds really harsh.
Well, you know, that's exactly how everyone feels about that year. I mean, no one really liked it, so...
Like, you're awkward. Yeah. Can we stop talking about you, please?
Yeah. But there was so much... It's just so weird how so much good came from it, too, you know?
You know, 2020 was honestly, I think I can say without a doubt, the hardest year of my life. Mm-hmm. And yet, it was the most fruitful year of my life in so many ways. Because I had to be so reliant on God's presence. And what's so interesting to me is fall of 2019, before any of the world events that occurred in 2020, I felt this pull from God to come away, go into the wilderness, spend time in his presence. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was, it's hard to describe, but I was so unbelievably hungry for his presence. I was like starved for it. That I started to get so hungry for it that I was willing to just cast everything else aside.
Yeah.
In order to experience it in a way that I had never experienced it before. And I would get little tastes. But I started, alongside of a friend of mine, talking a lot about his presence and how hungry I was for it. And just, you know, I want more. I want more. I want more. These tastes aren't enough. And so together we decided to do this fast, starting January 1, which, you know, like New Year's Eve parties are a thing. And I think that was the first year my husband and I didn't have a New Year's Eve. Like, we went to bed at 9 p.m. In 2019, before
2020 hit. Yeah, that sounds like the actual adult life where you're like, man, going to bed at 9 sounds amazing.
Right. And so, like, I remember that you're waking up on January 1st knowing I was going to do a 21 days in the wilderness fast with this friend of mine. The fast was clear our schedules. The only things we got to leave on our calendars were things like children's school events that we couldn't get out of, right? Like, we had to get our kids ready for school every morning. But otherwise, we turned off all technology, Our phones were off during the day. I think we made this rule that we could turn our phone on like around 8 p.m. at night and just check in with one another and see how the other had done.
Yeah.
Just for that accountability piece, which sometimes we did and sometimes we didn't. And then we set up some like reoccurring meetups, just the two of us. But it was a thing where like we canceled commitments we had made with friends, which was a little challenging to do. Some friends received that well and some did not. But we just, the purpose was 21 days in the presence of God, in the wilderness with Him, where we were so reliant on Him to be everything that we needed. And I was pregnant at the time, so I couldn't physically fast from food. My friend was fasting as well. But just simply giving up the busy, it was a little bit challenging. Honestly, it was more challenging than I expected because it felt really lonely at times.
Yeah.
But those were the opportunities that God gave me to dig deep and like get in the thick of it. Like, I'm lonely and I know you're here and I'm so hungry for your presence that I'm willing to remove every human being. I mean, beside my husband and my children, really. But anyways, so that's how 2020 started. And I remember thinking when the world kind of shut down, I was kind of angry. I mean, in early March when everything shut down, I remember in my quiet time asking the Lord, why did you make me do this? Because this is what happened. I did 21 days in the wilderness. We took a trip, just a family trip for a couple of days to like a swimming park. And my children all got sick. They all got hand, foot, and mouth. And any mother who has had children with hand, foot, and mouth knows that like it is a sickness that just keeps on giving. It starts off with like really grouchy attitudes. And then, you know, the spots and the hands and the feet and the mouth. And so we were really isolated then, and right when we were coming out of that is when shutdown happened. And I felt like God had been really unfair in some ways, that He had led me. I was like, why didn't you schedule this during shutdown?
Yeah.
Why did it have to be before? And it was so clear, though. It was so clear, because I walked out of the wilderness fast, with this burden on my heart to bring as many people into the wilderness as possible, because that's not something we are willing to do. We are not willing to be uncomfortable. We are not willing to be uncomfortable for Christ a lot too. And it was this just passion of, you need to bring everyone you can into my presence, because this is going to get good. And it's so funny, honestly, in 2019 when we were praying about this fast and everything, this friend and I kept saying, what if the church wasn't all of these corporate places? Like, we think God's going to do a move and the church is going to look like small groups in homes that sometimes have church. And we were so right. That's the funniest part to me. We were so right, but we were so wrong at the same time. It was just, so starting Wandering Wild in the midst of this was interesting, because I feel like the Lord really opened the door for me to give people a lot of peace about being in the solitude. And being a little isolated from one another. And He really gave me a compassion for what people were going through. You know, when I first went through that anger of like, why did you make me do this then? Knowing that I would be doing this now. I suddenly had this compassion. Like, oh yeah, I remember how hard it was that first week. I remember how hard it was not seeing people. That not only was it something that was really comforting to me and my family, but it was something I could offer to others as well. Mm-hmm. That, you know, we're never truly alone. We're right. never truly isolated. Mm-hmm. We don't lack, even when we're on our own. Mm-hmm. And that was the perfect place and time for that message.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. I think it's interesting, yeah, that God was like preparing you for the pandemic almost. You know, he's like, yeah. no, you're going to have a longer solitude time than the rest of the world because you're going to be able to use this for my good and for their good also, you know.
He was probably smart to do that. Yeah. I can tend to really like to have control over situations. Yes.
Same here.
And honestly, I mean, there's so many things about that year that I could share. But 2020 was such a hard year for me personally as mm-hmm. well mm-hmm. that I think he knew, I needed the foresight and not that I was going to be like, oh, a pandemic is coming. Like yeah, I wasn't right, yeah. shouting that from the rooftops. I was just like, people are going to need God's presence this year. And I have this mantle to give it to them.
Yeah.
I think he just knew that I would need that preparation. Mm. And honestly, not even to get me through, but really to just trust him with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are so many things about 2020. I mean, I should probably write a book about it, but it's fine. I don't have time.
Maybe 15 years from now.
Right. But there are so many things that he was sharing in that fall of 2019 and that January of 2020 that I wrestled with for a long time because I kept thinking, Lord, I know you are trying to tell me what I'm stepping into.
Yeah.
But like, why do that if I don't have the power to change it?
Mm-hmm.
And I wrestled with that for a while and God was just like, I needed you to know that I already knew about it
mm-hmm.
because I knew it was going to be hard for you to trust me in the midst of that.
Yeah.
And it's not about whether you can control it or not.
Right.
It's whether or not you believe I am in control of it or not.
Yeah.
And honestly, as I look back at how he carried me through that whole year, I'm like, that's way better than if I had somehow magically been able to avoid all of these potholes.
Mm-hmm.
It was way better that I leaned on him because what I got in the end was this lifelong trust of who he is.
Yeah.
And how his presence is with me.
Yeah. It seems like, I mean, because you've mentioned control a lot, I think that that's like the number one thing that maybe every American, well, no, not even American, but like the whole world was struggling with, the fact that they no longer had any control of like how to live their lives. They had to be stuck in their homes. And
you know what's so funny to me? 2020 was so funny. Everyone was getting toilet paper, right? Like right. that was the thing. And I'm like, even throughout that, people were like, why are people buying out toilet paper? This doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And I was like, I get it. We like to be comfortable. Right. We like to be in control. And what is like the most basic comfort we could have? It's like toilet paper.
Apparently, which I never would have thought that before the pandemic started. But
yeah. It was like, oh no, I don't want to have to wipe with a leaf.
Oh my gosh. And sorry. It's so funny because I was thinking the same thing. I was like, you might as well just go to your backyard and just grab something.
But we don't like to feel out of control and we don't like to feel uncomfortable. But there's 2020. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
But that's what the interesting thing is, like when you are left with basically nothing, that is when we realize our need for a savior a lot more. Because I know I've heard so much from people who were working in churches that I got to meet, and they were talking about their live stream that they had the most numbers that they've ever had.
Yeah.
Even, you know, including those who used to just attend in person and online. Like, it was more than they've ever had before.
Yeah.
And I was like, at that moment where they were like, I need, and then we got used to it. So then, you know, but it's they find comfort in something else and all that stuff. But in those moments, in the beginning of that, mm-hmm. you know, I'm even recounting of like when I felt so alone and I had no community when I first, you know, came back from missions.
Yeah.
And that was the sweetest time with me and the Lord. I actually think that I grew more in my relationship with him than I did when I had a lot of community.
Yes.
Because I was like, God, you are my only friend right now. Yes. I need you to be here with me.
So good. And, you know, it's so funny. I'm sitting here thinking, okay, sometimes we go through phases of life where we're like, God, take me back.
Mm-hmm.
Take me back. People are so people-y.
Yeah.
A friend of mine says that to me all the time. People are just really people-y.
Yeah. I'm going
to
steal that.
It's so true. That sometimes we're just like, take me back to when it was just me and you. And the beautiful product that comes from those times is that in the midst of people being people, we can be like, oh, but they're just people.
Right.
But he's God. And I know that because there was a time when it was just God.
Yeah.
And I was longing for the people.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good. But, you know, then I look back at other phases of my life and I put people on a pedestal.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a recipe for hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like that's such a gift. Those times of loneliness and isolation can be such a gift when we have allowed God to do the thing and work that in us, that times when we're, you know, dealing with difficult people or we're just dealing with people.
Yeah.
That he's like, oh, but they're just people.
Yeah.
And I'm God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just perspective is everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that. I mean, we've talked already a lot about 2020 was the hardest year of your life. And
yes.
And I love that God kind of like set you up to be ready for that that solitude that you were forced into without being around your friends and stuff. But even though you had that time, I'm just curious, like even in the midst of all that, in the midst of the hurt, in the midst of your personal troubles that you were going through as well, would you say that there was like a time where you ever felt distant from him, where you're like, I mean, you mentioned that you were mad at him, but did you ever felt like you were distant, or you were kind of in that place where you were so used to being in his presence that it didn't really change that, but you were mad at him regardless?
So something that just really impressed upon my heart in that season was he has truly never let me down. And as a human, I let him down all the time. I let him down without even knowing I've let him down.
Yeah. When I wake up, that's the first thing I do.
Yeah. But he doesn't carry that. And it's such a gift to know that even though I do let him down, his goodness is completely aimed towards me. And the times that I felt far from him were the choice that I made to be that distance away.
Mm-hmm.
But I was never actually far from him.
Mm-hmm.
His presence was still there. The distance was, did I acknowledge it or not? And I remember there was a night, it was especially hard day, and my husband came home from work and he found me in our room and I was crying. I was hyperventilating. I'm sure it was a panic attack. And I just, all I could get out, he would say, what's wrong? And I just kept saying, he's not good. He can't be good. He's not good. And what I was doing, I wasn't truly believing that he wasn't good.
Mm-hmm.
What I was doing was I was crying out for him to show me his goodness.
Yeah.
I was crying out this confession that I was harboring this feeling towards him that I couldn't handle. I couldn't handle being separated from him. Mm-hmm. I couldn't handle feeling like I was distant from him. And those feelings were just my human way of crying out. Mm-hmm. Like, show me that you're good, because I can't see it. Mm-hmm. And he did. He didn't. In that moment, I'm sure I thought that he needed to show me that he was good by erasing all the bad. Mm-hmm. And that's so cheap.
Yeah.
Like, what a cop-out if God was like, oh, let me snap my fingers and it all be gone and life is easy for you again. What he offers is so much richer. Mm-hmm. His presence. Mm-hmm. Like, to not do it alone. What a gift.
Yeah.
When God created us, he created us to need to be in his presence. Mm-hmm. I love the idea that Dr. Kurt Thompson talks about when he talks about community. Mm-hmm. And how we were created for community.
Yeah.
We were created in the image of a God who exists inside of community, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And honestly, in the times that I felt distant from his presence, what always pointed me back was community.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds kind of crazy to think like, oh, 2020, when, you know, things were shut down, but there were still very key people that in the hardest times that we were walking through were in our homes praying for us, mm-hmm. in our home worshiping with us, in our home helping us with our kids when we needed help and praying over them. And without that community,
yeah,
I wouldn't know today what God's presence was like. And I know that sounds so crazy because the 21 days in the wilderness was an isolation mm-hmm. experience. Mm-hmm. But really, in the thick of the hard, what brought us back was community. And the people of God, you know, sending a text to check in, sending a Bible verse, which sometimes can be really obnoxious, but in the right context with the right community, mm-hmm. it's like water, for your thirst, people to come in and hear the hard that you're walking through, and the, you know, hear about the panic attack, hear about the doubt, hear about the questioning, that kind of community was what brought everything back mm-hmm. into his presence. And up to this day, I don't think there's any other way I would rather experience God's presence than in community with other believers. That's a question I really love asking people, is like, what's your favorite way to experience God's presence? I've gotten so many wonderful answers in nature, worshiping, praying, reading the Bible, but man, mine is community.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I like doing the series right now, because everyone's answers has been so different in how they spend time in God's presence and draw near to him. And actually, I think it's a beautiful reminder. I mean, there are going to be times where it's just you and God, and then there are going to be times where you really need to be in that community. And like you said, without that community, I mean, sometimes you can't pray for yourself when you're in that thick of it, and you need other people to pray for you. Like, that's the whole point of intercession, right? Yes. Like, you know,
Jesus Christ himself does that for us.
Yes, exactly. I mean, I've been teaching my youth group students, since I help with the youth group worship team and all that stuff, and teaching them about what intercessory prayer is, especially like thinking about people groups and nations and countries that don't believe in God. Like, someone needs to be praying for them, you know, like, yes, God doesn't need our help, but he wants us to be actively involved, a part of growing his kingdom and be a part of his will. And as you were mentioning, like, we were made to be we were created to be in his presence. We were created to walk in communion with him. Like, yeah. Looking back at the image of Adam and Eve, they walked alongside God. There was nothing blocking between them. And so thinking about how we ought to live our lives is, no, we can't see him physically, mm-hmm. but to walk with him as though he were, because he is, like I used to mention, so like better. Even when we feel distant, he really truly is still there.
Yes.
You know, so I think it's wonderful that that community helped you in those times, you know, when you guys really needed them to pray alongside you, because sometimes, and it's okay for us to say this, sometimes our faith is just not strong enough to do it.
Yeah.
Because as you were crying out, like, he's not good, it's, you need other people to believe that for you, that he is.
Yeah.
And you're like, you just can't yes. believe it for yourself, because the enemy just has you so downtrodden that all you can do is just focus on just trying to make it through another day,
mm-hmm.
and to keep your faith with him, you know. I really want to be able to talk about this also, and with, because it's just interesting, like, seeing you and your husband and knowing your background and things like that, about, because with talking about the nearness and presence of God and his, and Jesus and Yahweh, whatever you want to call him, he has many names. But, you know, there are people with each question that I ask, and whoever I ask it from or of, they give me a different answer based on a lot of times their upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that you and your husband grew up in two very different styles of worshiping God. And now you have 6 children and you're married, all that. And so can you first talk about those two different upbringings mm-hmm. of your faith? And then talk about how you were able to, like, merge them together when it comes to bringing up your children and then teaching them about God's presence.
You know, it's really funny about the community that God brought me
mm-hmm.
and really, you know, brought me back into his presence in the dark times. It was such an unexpected community.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, just a handful of months before, someone had asked me if I would ever be willing to be part of the church that my husband grew up in, because he had expressed some interest in that mm. previously. And, you know, it was a church that he grew up in since he was a baby. I mean, yeah. These are lifelong relationships.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I would never. No way.
Mm.
And of course, that should have been a sign, but it wasn't. There was no doubt in my mind yeah. that would never happen.
Yeah.
And
I learned a long time, never say never to God.
Never say never to God. Oh, never. Never say it. Never is the only time you can use the word never is when you say never say never.
Yeah.
But in the midst of those really dark times, the community that God brought us were people from that church. And we were, so my husband grew up in the Apostolic Christian Church, which is a very conservative church. It has a lot of deep-rooted traditions,
mm-hmm.
You know, in the Midwest. They're the ones that wear jean skirts yeah. and head coverings.
Mm.
Or as my family used to say before we knew anyone, AC, for short, was doilies on their head. My mom used to crochet doilies all the time. I thought it was the same thing. It's definitely not. And he grew up in this church, and it has some traditions that are very strict and very it's gone through seasons mm. of a lot of hard things. And I've never shared this in a public space before, actually, but when I was in high school, my first job was working at a nursing home that was apostolic
mm.
and that was really my first, you know, example of yeah. Apostolic Christians. And so I worked there as a CNA
mm.
and I just remember seeing these really peaceful women and men in black suits, and they would come in, you know, every so often, and they would sing hymns to the residents. And there was one night that I was there longer, and they were singing this song, and it was so beautiful, and it just really touched me. And the Holy Spirit just put something in my heart and said, like, someday you're going to serve this church. And I was like, what?
That's so interesting.
Okay. I don't know what that means, but okay. And yeah, I didn't know my husband then. Actually, my husband's 4 years younger than me. So honestly, after I heard that initial, like, in my spirit, you know, I worked at this nursing home for 4.5 years. I moved on. I had better, bigger dreams to pursue. And I never thought of that. Like, never thought of it. I never thought, oh, maybe, you know, this is, I'm going to serve this church. I had never thought it through it. And I met my husband, and we got married, and we started having kids. And through that hardship of 2020, what's really neat about my husband is he has the same core best friend group that he has had since grade school. And they've all gone to church together, and they've been in each other's lives so long. They've gone through so much. It's like the unbreakable bond that they have, which not only is just rare in general, but really rare for guys, I would say. But best friends for years. And throughout the heart of 2020, those were the people that were in our lives. And they were the ones that were holding us up when we couldn't, you know, keep going. And they all belong to this church. And I just, I saw this community start to build where I had never quite experienced it before. So when that community came alongside of us and helped us get through kind of our darkest hours, we started to see several things. The first being that community is what God intended for us, for the church. And we had had community before, but it was a very structured community, and it was very, you know, every other week we would get together and we would do a Bible study together, and it was beautiful. Like, that community that we had been a part of was, those were the people that if I was looking for the most spiritual wisdom, they were the people that I would go to. But even that just still didn't feel quite like enough. And maybe part of that is because we had so many kids. Maybe part of that, honestly, it fell short in some capacity because we learned in 2020 that proximity is really important. You know, with the modern church, we've built churches, you know, 30, 45 minutes away, and we seek out the best church and we drive 45 minutes to get to it. But those aren't the people that you, like, go to the grocery store and run into, and they're not the people that you, you know, follow out of town as you're on your way to work. Or, and so just realizing that this community that was starting to, you know, bud in our lives was in close proximity to us, in close physical distance. Our kids were going to school with the same children that went to this church. Just really seeing the value of that was something that I had never, ever understood. I mean, my family that I grew up in, I am the youngest of three girls. I was homeschooled from second grade on, and I grew up in an Assemblies of God church that thankfully was right behind my house. But very much people came from all over the place. And honestly, I always felt like an outsider. I've always felt like, even when I had a friend group, there was always something different about me. You know, some of the richest community we had had prior to 2020, I felt like the black sheep. I felt like I didn't belong, like I was the odd one out because of lifestyle and family size and, you know?
Yeah.
And what's funny is my community now, there are not that many people that have six children too, right? Like that, the answer wasn't find more people like us. The answer was find people that you can do life with. Mm-hmm. Find people that you can be in community with. And honestly, that spoke such volumes to us about who God is and what his heart is for us. Like when you can feel that you belong, it changes so much about your perception of belonging to God.
Yeah.
When you belong in a community, understanding how God sees you and how you fit in his family makes so much more sense. And when you look through scripture in the early church, it was meeting in locations, in proximity, in people's homes. It was really beautiful. And I think a lot of times we look back and we say, oh, well, it should have been this. It was intended to be this. We should go back to this. That's not always the answer, because there are a lot of big churches that are doing things really well. There are a lot of churches that are 45 minutes away from me that are doing things really well, and I'm sure my family would thrive in, but just, you know, on paper, when you see on paper, but that proximity and that belonging, it makes such an impact on just how you experience God in the midst of your community. And so it's funny, the main reason why we started attending the church that my husband grew up in was not because we had plans to go there.
Right.
It's because it simply opened up before everything else did. And so, you know, when we first started going, it was like you had to sit far away from people and you had to wear the mask. And, you know, there were all of these parameters around it. But it was so, there was something so life-giving about being in the presence of other people.
Yeah.
That we desperately needed, our kids desperately needed. And so we didn't start out with the intention that, oh, this is where we're going to stay.
Right.
But over time, seeing the community and building the community with our close friends, it became increasingly obvious that this was where the Lord was leading us, to the point where we couldn't deny it any longer.
Yeah.
And so what really changed my heart from, oh no, I would never, was we did, first off, we did a Bible study that fall on Sunday mornings where they talked about different traditions of the past and how they were changing for the future, and really saw how they had made so much effort to be sound biblically, theologically, you know, Jesus Christ is what saves you. You know, this was a church that membership and baptism and salvation were all kind of one in years past.
Right.
But hearing the ministers speak and say, no, Jesus Christ and his blood is what saves you.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
But also, we get to baptize. Right. And, you know, there is a moment of salvation. And hearing those things were so, we were like, this is such a great foundation for our family. And so, me being the Assemblies of God person that I was, very charismatic, the dreams, all the things, I don't think I would have ever really thought that I would be where I am, and I've never been more grateful.
Yeah.
Hey friends, we're going to take a quick break to talk to you a little bit about the product that sponsors our podcast, Splendor Magazine. Splendor Magazine is designed to share stories from our writers that aims to encourage women to know their true identity in Christ, empower them to use their gifts to glorify God, and equip them to make disciples in their field, all without worry or strife. We love Splendor Magazine, and because today is Black Friday, we have a special offer just for you. Now, until December 4th, everything in their shop is 40% off. That's right, all of Splendor's products and issues shown in their shop, past, present, and upcoming, as well as the quarterly subscription, are on sale. And this is the biggest sale they've had yet. The best part is, this offer is only available to our listeners. You won't want to miss out on this sale, so go to their shop today and use code BLACKFRIDAY40, that's Black Friday, the numbers 40, to get 40% off anything in their store. This deal won't last forever, so don't wait. Go to splendormag.com/shop to start buying today. That's splendeurmag.com/shop. Don't forget your discount code. Now, let's get back to our conversation with Amelia.
Well, I mean, with the core of, if the gospel that they're sharing is Jesus died on the cross for you. Mm-hmm. He is God's son. He died, rose from the grave. If that core belief is there, and the truth of the gospel is not being distorted into manly interpretations, worldly interpretations, then there's nothing wrong with attending that church, you know? And
you want to know one of the things I really love that they do? They have testimony nights regularly. And something that I really love about it is testimony nights are not how you became a Christian. Their testimony nights are telling stories about their life. And it's so sweet.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think they said recently like 650 people call our church home. And just in our in our town, there are some surrounding. There's no possible way I could sit down and have a meal with all 650 of those people and hear their stories. But they do these testimony nights, and it's not the salvation testimony. It's the, you know, I had this life experience and this is how God brought me through it. It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
It is one of the most beautiful things to hear someone else's story. I mean, it's why we love podcasts so much, right? Is you're listening to my story right now. But to get to know that within your community.
Yeah.
I mean, I never saw that growing up. I remember serving alongside women in children's ministry for years in high school and college. And all of a sudden, one day, one of them mentioned their husband, and I was like, I never knew she had a husband. Like, I didn't know anything about the people I was serving alongside.
Yeah.
But it's different. It's different here. You know who is who, and you know what they've gone through, and those testimonies are so powerful.
Yeah.
So powerful.
Yeah. I feel like people think that the testimony of how you came to know Jesus is the most important, which is, it is the most important for your walk with him.
It is not what encourages others.
Yes. And it could be, but we all have so many different testimonies in our lives that we can share. And I know at different times in my life that God has me share a different testimony for certain people based on his leading of his spirit and when I am supposed to share it. Because, I mean, that's what saved me from a sin that I was shackled to for 10 years. It was because someone was, I wouldn't say brave. I don't know if she was like scared to share this testimony with me, but like it was with me and a bunch of other girls when I was a freshman in college. And I had, you know, I knew the Lord was wanting me to confess my sin again, because he's been, you know, he's been nudging at me, prior to that time to confess it, but I was so ashamed. And I was like, I'm the only one doing this. No one I know is doing the same thing I'm doing, and I can't share it. I'm too embarrassed. I'm too ashamed. And it was from that one person, she was a senior, I was a freshman in college, that she opened up and told me her testimony. And actually, part of her testimony was that she shared, she was brave enough to share in front of a whole group of people, of men and women, about her sin, the same sin that I was done. And then, like, that testimony brought other women to be able to share, like, I did the same thing. And that's, like, the power of testimonies in itself, of, like, you know, even if it's just saying, like, you know, just something that God is doing in your life now, you have no idea how beneficial that could be for another person. And just knowing, like, oh, they're going through this too. Oh, praise the Lord. I can go and talk to them. We can commiserate together.
Yes.
So it is, I mean, testimonies are so powerful in that way.
And stories are so important. I think through the Israelites and how after they came out of Egypt, God said, don't forsake telling your children what happened and why.
Yeah.
Because it was the very salvation that they would find, because they did forsake it, and a whole generation was lost. A whole generation was far off from God. And he knew it, the power of their story carried on from generation to generation would have meaning. It would be community building, and it would, and not just when we community build with one another, but that builds our community with him as well.
Yeah.
It's so important.
Yeah. And like you were saying, I just kind of went back to when you were thinking about he's not good. Mm. When people share those stories, you can remember, like, oh, okay, he's still good, you know? Yeah. And he's reminding me that I'm not alone in this.
Yes.
And it's just, I mean, that, I think, in itself, with all of the aspect of the community you're just talking about, helps us to just draw near to God even more so, because of the community that helps us and reminds us of the goodness of God.
Yes.
And to draw near his presence.
And here's the scary part. Building community is so vulnerable. Mm. It's so hard. Mm. Because you cannot build a community without being vulnerable, without being real.
Yeah.
You know, if you have a bunch of friends that you're only, like, half in it with, then you're only going to have half in it friends.
Yeah.
I have this dear friend that I went to a month or so ago, and I said, I am seeing this need in me to have a confessional community, a community around me of people who, you know, I'm constantly reading God's word with this person. Mm-hmm. She's regularly in my home. She lives at the end of my street. I was like, can we just make it a practice to just every once in a while walk around together and confess? Because it's one thing to confess to the Lord, but the power comes when you confess to someone else.
Amen.
That you have to see.
Yeah.
Regularly. Who thinks about you.
Yeah.
When, you know.
And bringing it into the light in general.
In general is so powerful. But it requires, the hardest part about community is that it requires us to be the messy humans that we are.
Yeah.
It requires us to hurt one another sometimes. Mm-hmm. I know that sounds insane, but I have a really good friend who she is regularly telling me, it is okay for you to offend me, because I'm like, I'm so worried. I offended you. Did I offend you? I'm really sorry if I should. And she's like, I want you to offend me sometimes.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yes.
Because even though it's hard, and you know what? I've offended her, and she's offended me. Mm-hmm. And we've had to come together, and we've had to overcome that offense. We've had to talk through it and cry through it sometimes, because, hello.
Right.
Messy human here.
Yeah.
But that's, man, on the other side of that conflict, it's so beautiful. It's so rich. Man. Like, God is so in the midst of that kind of community.
Yeah. You know, and if you don't, if you're not willing to offend people by sharing truth, that's not actually like true love for them anyway.
No.
And
can I just tell you, I'm not that person. Oh, my word. My husband puts it, how does he put it? He says, Amelia cannot be disingenuous if she tried. And it's so true. It's just not in me. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't tell a lie. I wear my heart on my sleeve. Mm-hmm. And if I'm, like, afraid that I need to say something and I don't say it, it'll eat me alive until I say it. Like, it will come out.
Yeah.
And that makes me sound like a really fun person to be around. Anyone who knows me knows this about me, though, that yeah. if I have something to say, I'm going to say it because I'm yeah. afraid of what will happen if I don't.
Yeah.
But what's so good is, you know, this friend who says I'm allowed to offend her. Mm. Not like, oh, just walk in and diss me.
Right, right, right.
But what's beautiful is that because I have been vulnerable enough to offend yeah. her, she turns around and she can say, I think you could have been a little more tactful in the way that you said mm-hmm. that. And I love it.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, please help me be a better person.
Yeah.
Please help me be kinder and gentler and more peaceful.
Yeah.
You know, please help me to speak the truth, but with love.
Right. Because we don't see our own shortcomings sometimes.
No.
You know, and I know that I'm that same way. And but I think it's also really important, and I think the reason why it works with you and your friend is because you guys both know where your heart is at.
Yes.
You know, like, you know you don't mean to do this out of hurt or malice, mm. but it's even sweeter than when you're able to talk to them and be like, hey, like, I love you so much. I know that this yes. is not how you meant to come across, but this is how it was and how I felt and blah, blah, blah. And yeah, there's a lot of growth that can happen when there are people who are just willing to be honest with one another. Mm. And instead of being offended and keeping that hurt and wallowing in that hurt, mm-hmm. You can just confront them in love. I mean, I've yes. always said that communication is the key to a healthy relationship.
And specifically when you know that someone has the Holy Spirit inside yeah. of them. I look at people who have a significant amount of church hurt, and I'm so saddened by it because, you know, it just doesn't make logical sense.
Right.
We have the Holy Spirit inside of us. If we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, then that conflict has a path. It has a resolution.
Yeah.
And I'm so grieved for those that are walking around with this hurt, because what it shows me is that there are so many Christians out there mm. who have so quenched the Spirit that all they wanted was to be offensive.
Yeah.
And then bail.
Yeah.
And that makes me angry.
Yeah.
It makes me so sad just thinking through how Satan has tried. He's pulled out all of the stops mm. to break up unity and community and church mm-hmm. when God intended this beautiful thing mm-hmm. for us to be together and to be together with Him.
Yeah.
How fun, mm-hmm. how life-giving that should be, mm-hmm. and how twisted it can become.
Right.
And that's where, you know, someone asks about community and says, I just don't know if I can do it. Mm. I don't know if I can build that community. I don't know if I can open myself up to be hurt again.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can be raw like that again. And I'm here to say on the other side, this side of heaven, that's what this is all about.
Yeah.
You will never experience the fullness of God's presence in your life if you have not experienced the fullness of community with His bride. Real community.
Yeah.
Not the kind that smiles and says, hey, how are you? Oh, I'm great. How are you? The kind that says, hey, how are you? No, how really are you?
Mm-hmm.
and truly wants to know. Yeah. And I promise you, I didn't think I could have it. Like, when Zach and I first got married and he would do guy nights with his best friends, I would die inside a little. I would cry. I would spend the whole evening crying. Mm. I would cry and ask him not to go. Mm. Sorry, guys. I would. Because I didn't have that.
Yeah.
I didn't have, and I mean, I can't tell you how many times he'd be like, I'm hanging out with the guys on this date. And I would rapidly be texting every girlfriend I knew who would possibly be interested in hanging out with me so I didn't have to be alone. And it would never work out. Mm-hmm. And I would just be at home and I would just cry.
Yeah.
And maybe that sounds really selfish, but I was so hungry for a relationship.
Yeah.
And the only relationship that, like, had ever tapped into that meaning was my marriage. Mm. I knew it existed. I knew it was possible. Mm. But I hadn't experienced it.
Yeah.
And countless nights, I just prayed, God, bring me a friend. Bring me a friend. Mm-hmm. And you know what? He had to lead me through some things. Mm. I had to put some people on pedestals that definitely did not belong there. Nobody belonged there. I had to take myself off that pedestal. Mm-hmm. And I had to be like, oh, I'm a messy, pathetic human being. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And one day God answered it. And I'm telling you, every time he has answered that cry for community, it has been in the most unexpected way, with the most unexpected people. Mm-hmm. And he just showed me a better way. He showed me a better way than to say, well, that person's probably not good enough to open up to. I'll move on to someone who fits the bill.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I was just thinking as you were talking, so many thoughts. The first is that, you know, people always say how marriage is difficult because it's two sinners coming together. Mm. So how much more difficult is it going to be when a whole body of believers are together trying to walk alongside one another in church?
So, like, much sharpening.
Yeah. And it's not even, it's just the fact that the reason why there's so much conflict nowadays, I mean, then why there probably has always been conflict in the church is because the enemy is trying to, you know, cut us down, because we're supposed to be one in Christ. Yes. And we're supposed to be, it's not brides, it's bride.
Right.
You know, like, we're supposed to be together. Yes. And yeah, I think that a lot of people tend to think that they don't need church, like little C church, because all they need is just like them and God and his word, because they've received too much hurt from that church. And you know what? And I understand, and I'm not belittling those who have been hurt by the church. Like, I get it. It's real. I've been hurt by the church.
Yeah.
You know, but speaking as someone who has been hurt by the church that I actually currently go to, there's healing. There is healing on it. And I felt like there wasn't going to be that. And I think that I was so, my first instinct was just to run away from it. And if it weren't for my parents, I would have run away. And I think that we have to be comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Yes.
And being confrontational a little bit when it comes to addressing our hurt, because you're never going to receive full healing from that if you do not address it with those who've actually hurt you.
Yeah.
And if they dismiss your feelings, then that you should walk away. Like, if they are not there to walk alongside you, pray with you, ask for forgiveness, and whether it's warranted or not, you know, sometimes it's their own perception, but like, then that is an unhealthy church and you should walk away. But if there is possibility, even a small chance of healing, go for it. Take it. Go back to where it happened. And maybe that's not the answer for some people who are listening. And I'm not trying to force you to go to that. But speaking as someone also with, like, in terms of hurting our own friends who are in, that we've walked in community with, you know, my friend who, she was my best friend and still is a close friend of mine now, but in sophomore year, like, we were so close. Mm. Her and another friend and myself, we were like three musketeers that year. And I hurt her really badly. And it hurt me how much I hurt her.
Yeah.
And she dismissed me. She hated me. She walked away from our friendship. And I still pray to God for her and that he would reconcile our relationship, and mm-hmm. he has. And yeah. we've had some amazing, beautiful, fruitful conversations, and I think she understood, like, even though I hurt her, I was at one point the only person she could talk to about something that she was going through, and that was healing mm-hmm. for the both of us to walk through and for her to see, like, I was truly sorry.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, now I'm rambling, but but I think it's sometimes as Christians, we just need to be uncomfortable with being walking alongside other sinful human beings. Yes. And we cannot.
Well, and remembering that the power doesn't come in them not being sinful.
Yeah.
The power is in us letting them be the humans that they are.
Yeah.
And giving God the power to transform in the way mm-hmm. that he does.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think there was a really key word you said in talking about your friend.
Yeah.
That you prayed.
Mm-hmm.
You prayed for that relationship to be restored. And the truth is, sometimes when we try to restore things ourselves, we make a big mess.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But God is so good mm-hmm. at not only restoring things, but being in the business of using us to restore things
mm-hmm.
as well. And it's only through him.
Oh, yeah.
That we have the power.
Yeah.
To build that back.
If he wasn't in the equation, I don't think that we ever would have had that reconciliation.
No.
So.
And, you know, even in toxic church environments, the question isn't just run away or not run away. The question is, do I trust that God will lead me out when it's time? Or do I trust that God will impress upon me to stay
mm-hmm.
when I need to stay? Unsafe situations,
yeah,
flee. But I think there's a lot to be said for trusting in the Lord
yeah.
to bring about. I mean, look at the Israelites.
Right.
He brought about the Exodus in the exact right timing.
Mm-hmm.
How many times did they like, okay, when are we going to get out of this? Maybe we should just stay. I was like, no. I got the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be the time that you're going to walk through the wave and all the soldiers are mm-hmm. going to go, because I need you here now.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. This has been such a fruitful conversation, and I wish we could talk so much more about it. But I really want to be able to end this off with, like, because I'm sure, I mean, every little bit of nugget you said was really encouraging for people and to hear and to take it and to apply it to their lives.
Mm.
But yeah, let's go to the name Dress and Splendor. I mean, it comes from Luke 12:27. I always ask every, mm-hmm. you know, person on my show this question, but in light of our conversation and what this verse is in terms of how we can, you know, apply this verse to our lives in order to be dressed in grander splendor than the wildflowers of the field,
mm-hmm.
What is some advice that you would give to our listeners as it pertains to this conversation we had?
Dressed in splendor. I love that. You know, just as I think through community and just what that community did for me and how we find community in some very unexpected places.
Mm.
It makes me really think through putting on the armor of God
mm.
and that scripture, and how putting on the armor of God is what protects us from Satan's schemes
mm-hmm.
and how Satan has so tried to cause this division in the bride, caused us to feel isolated. He's caused us to feel like there are more important members of the church than we are.
Mm.
Or sometimes it feels like he's schemed to make us feel like we were the only member.
Mm-hmm.
Putting on the armor as his bride, it makes me think of Ephesians 6:15 that says, as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace.
Mm.
When Christ came, he came for our freedom.
Mm.
And he came to give us peace. And that peace is found in his presence. And that presence is found in community.
Mm-hmm.
And something my husband prays a lot, he says, God, would you give us feet for the path? And when I think through being dressed in splendor as his bride, there's this spirit of peace, this spirit of not guarded.
Yeah.
We're guarded against the enemy when we put on the armor of God, but we shouldn't be guarded against one another. We should be walking in peace as Christ walked. As he walked out that gospel for us, we should be daily laying down ourselves to be vulnerable with the other members of his church, of his bride, because we all serve a purpose and we all make the whole. I mean, and this isn't, we weren't designed for community simply because, you know, sin entered the world. No, like, in the beginning, God said that it wasn't good for Adam to be alone. Yeah. And so just good. What a gift it is to walk out how we were made to be. We were made to be in community. We were made to complement one another. We were made to walk in unity. And I'm telling you, there is nothing that Satan tries harder to do than to cause chaos and confusion and division in our lives. And so I guess my encouragement to anyone who's listening to Dressed in Splendor is put on those shoes. Put on the shoes of the gospel of peace. And find that unity within the body. And not guarded.
Yeah.
But vulnerable.
So good.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's so life-giving. And it is absolutely worth it.
Amen. Yeah, that is, I feel like, the perfect way to wrap up our series. Oh, man. I feel like we really could talk about this for another 2 hours about this specific topic and drawing near to him through community. I mean, there's so much about community that we could delve into. And maybe that'll be its own series one day. But I want to thank
you.
Sign
me up.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you so much for talking about this with our listeners, with me, opening up your home to me and for us to record this episode.
Anytime.
Yeah. But before we leave, Amelia, how can people find you?
Oh, boy. It's fun answering this question. It's been a long time. Let's see. People can find me. I'm on Instagram. Just Amelia Zobrist is my handle. You can find Wandering Wild and the resources we create at wandering.wild. Or you can go and look up our website, wanderingwild.co. And wild is spelled with an E because I'm a creative at heart and it looked really pretty.
Yes. So.
Yeah, you can find me in those places.
Great, yeah. And as always, you'll be able to find that in the show notes. But again, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you for having me.
All right, we will catch you next time. Thanks so much for tuning in. And the next time, we'll actually be starting a new series. So get ready for that, everyone. Amelia, thanks again. Thank you so much for tuning in, y'all. I really hope that the last few conversations we've had on the subject of the nearness and presence of Yahweh has blessed you in some way, shape, or form. I hope this series has been an inspiration to you in learning new ways to draw near to God and to enter into his presence. I also pray that this has inspired you to run to God and not away from him. May this podcast further aid you in learning how to be dressed in splendor in your everyday life, no matter what you may go through. If you want to know when our next episode will be out, and specifically when our next series, Comfort and Joy, will start, follow us on social media. Find us on Instagram at Dressed in Splendor. Also, I love making new friends, so if you want to give me a follow and find me on Instagram, my handle is at TheLydiaSummer. Hope to see you there.
Make sure to like this podcast and leave us a review wherever you can. Not for my sake, but that the message of Christ with the powerful testimonies of his children can be shared with all in order for his glory to be magnified. If you're interested in being a sponsor, please email us at info@splendormag.com. Your sponsorship will help us continue in our mission to encourage, empower, and equip women in their walk with Christ. We thank you in advance for your support. The music of the Dress in Splendor podcast was produced by Jael Arekasi. Find him on Instagram at Sound of Pastel Kid for more of his work. That's Sound of Pastel, P-A-S-T-E-L, Kid. Thank you, Amelia, for joining us on our podcast. And lastly, thank you, dear listeners, for tuning in. We hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving day, and may you be blessed as you continue on in your day, and may God be glorified through your work.